Hello and welcome to the Torah Simcha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlian, and today we will be studying Shmuel Beis, Perek Yod Zayin, the 17th chapter. We finished last Perek with the terrible scene of Avshalom on the advice of Achitophel taking the pilakshim of David on the roof publicly, the idea being to do something so very bold that would shock everybody and make the people realize that Avshalom had control. Achitophel continues to advise Avshalom, and we will see that David's plea to Hashem, Sakel na es atzas Achitophel, to undo the advice of Achitophel, will be answered in this parak. Achitophel advises Avshalom to attack David immediately at night with 12,000 men. And his rationale was that using the advantage of surprise, David's men would not be ready for this attack, especially because they were completely exhausted. They probably did not have enough supplies and resources. And he says they will try to flee, but Achitophel says, I myself will kill David. After which point, I will bring back the people that had aligned themselves with David, and they will be your loyal servants. You will get a following after I take out David. In other words, attack the group out of 10. Take David out. Radak says that Achitophel's hatred of David was so intense that this is what propelled him to give this advice. He was incensed with the fact that David took Bathsheba, and which was his granddaughter, as we had said before, in addition to the fact that he viewed himself as the Goel Hadam for the death of Bathsheba's husband Uriah Hachiti. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4 tells us, Vayishar hadavar b'nei Avshalom. It seemed correct in the eyes of Avshalom, uv'nei kol ziknei Yisrael, and in all the eyes of the elders of Yisrael, those people that align themselves with Avshalom. The Malbim points out that the pasuk uses the word vayishar hadavar as opposed to vayitav hadavar. It was good in his eyes. The reason being that even though strategically it made sense, vayishar hadavar, emotionally this did not sit well with the people or with Avshalom. Therefore, Avshalom asks for a second opinion from Hushai, whether it was consciously or subconsciously, hoping for a way to avoid killing David. So in Pasuk Zion 7, Achitophel says, Hushai says, Vayomar Hushai el Avshalom. Hushai is the undercover agent, the friend of David that infiltrated Avshalom's camp. He says to Avshalom, Lo tov ha'etz asher ya'atz Achitophel p'am hazos. This the advice that Achitophel gave you was not good this time, meaning that usually his advice is spot on, but right now his advice is not the appropriate and strategic way to go about completing your rebellion. And he continues in Pasuk Ches 8, Vayomer Hushai, and Hushai says, Ataya data es avicha, ve'es anashav ki giborim hema, umare nefesh hema. You know your father and his men, that they are mighty warriors, and they are embittered. Kedov shakul basadeh, like a bear who is desperate to protect her young. Ve'avicha ish milchama v'lo yolinas ha'am, and your father is a man of war. He will not be sleeping with the nation. He's going to be in hiding, meaning Achitophel's advice rests on the premise that David and his men will be weak and they will not be able to fight back. It's also based on the premise that David will be in the camp at night. The opposite is true, says Hushai. David won't even be there. He'll anticipate your attack and will have left to hide out. And his men, think about the men. The men will be ready to fight with a vengeance like a bear defending her cubs. It's interesting that perhaps Hushai is using the image of a bear because it was already known that David was successful battling a lion and a bear in his youth. If you look back to Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin. Hushai continues and he says, there is no way that if you listen to Achitophel's advice that you will be a match for David and his men. People will get word that your men are struck down, and then word will go around that you are no match for your father, and people will not back you. You will not have the popular support of the people. Hushai continues and he says, what I suggest you do is don't go with only 12,000 men, but take the time to regroup a huge army from all over Israel, and you yourself should go and lead the charge. Achitophel said that he himself would kill David. I'm telling you that you should lead the charge. Now, if you notice, Hushai uses the term avicha, your father, three times, two times in Pasuk Ches and one time in Pasuk Yud. It to subtly invoke the rachamim, the pity, the compassion of a son for his father, and to realize that the whole rebellion is so unnatural. Whereas Achitophel deliberately refers to David by name and omits the term father because he specifically wanted Avshalom to act not as a son, but as a mortal enemy of David. Hushai continues and says that we will launch an attack on David and his men and find them wherever they are hiding. And because of the sheer numbers of soldiers that we will have, we will be victorious. Even if they manage to escape to a walled city, we will raise the wall to the ground and get every last man. Abarbanel says that Hushai implies that he will take them captives. He doesn't specifically say that he will kill David and his men, which of course sits much better with Avshalom. Achitophel's advice was actually the better advice strategically, but Hushai was able to convince him otherwise. Avshalom and the people around him agreed with this plan over Achitophel's plan, which in and of itself is miraculous. As the Navi interjects and tells us in Pasuk Yedaled, in the middle of Pasuk Yedaled, V'Hashem tziva lahafer es atzas Achitophel ha-tova l'ba'avor havi Hashem el Avshalom es ha-ra'a. Hashem commanded that the advice of Achitophel be nullified in order that Hashem should bring to Avshalom the evil, meaning in order to bring justice to Avshalom. David had prayed, Sakel na es atzas Achitophel, and here Hashem answers his prayer. Hashem tziva lahafer atzas Achitophel. It's interesting, the same word is used, lahafer, when we say Avinu Malkeinu hafer atzas oyvenu. This pasuk tells us of the hashgacha pratis. Avshalom's rebellion was a punishment for David, but he would not be able to finish the job, and he would pay the price for the rebellion. As the Gemara tells us, Megalgalim chova al yedei chayev. It's true that David needed to be punished, but Avshalom had bechira, the same way that the Jews were supposed to be enslaved in Mitzrayim, but they were still punished because they chose to enslave them. So here, even though Avshalom was the vehicle of punishment of David, and said he deserved this punishment, the fact that Avshalom was that vehicle of punishment, he deserved payback as well. So Hushai had a close call, but he was successful at influencing the strategy in Avshalom's camp, which bought David time. David had set up a series of informers, and Hushai tells Tzadok and Avyasar, the Kohanim, the details of his plan, and tells them to get word to David that he should cross the Yarden, he should cross the Jordan River. The relay system was activated, and Avyasar and Tzadok told their respective children, Achimatz and Yehonasan, to relay the information to David, which they did via a maid who was in this Ein Rogel, in a spring of water that was used to wash laundry. It was an area where people washed their laundry. She, in turn, was to pass on this intelligence report to David. Achimatz and Yehonasan, however, were spotted by an Avshalom sympathizer, and they managed to escape to somebody's field, where the woman of the house acted quickly and had the wherewithal to quickly hide them in a well and covered it with a screen and put some grain on top of it as if it had been there for a while drying out. When asked about these men's whereabouts from Avshalom's soldiers, she says that they crossed by this Michal Hamayim, a local body of water. They're probably long gone. The people searched for them, but the soldiers of Avshalom searched for Achimatz and Yehonasan, but they could not find them, and therefore they returned back to Yerushalayim. Now the Medrash points out, interestingly, that this woman in Bachurim actually was the wife of none other than Shimi ben Gera. So as irony had it, Shimi ben Gera cursed David, and his wife, who obviously did not agree with her husband's stance about David, played an integral role in facilitating the transmission of this key information to David through Achimatz and Yehonasan. So because now that they were out of danger, they were able to get the message to him, and then he was able to cross the Jordan with all of his men. Achitophel realized that Avshalom would lose the battle because his strategy was not implemented. He realized that David would be reinstated as king, and he went home, he got his affairs in order, and he hanged himself with his family, in front of his family or in his family home. It seems that he preferred to kill himself rather than being killed at the hands of David as a Morid B'Malchus. The Abarbanel points out that the assets of a Morid B'Malchus, of somebody that's rebellious against the king, actually go to the king, and therefore, before he died, he bequeathed his assets to his family so that they would not be confiscated by the king. The Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that Achitophel seemed from the Gemara that he had remorse for his actions because he told his family before he died about the primacy of Torah, not to get involved in Machlokas, and not to rebel against the house of David. David came to Machanaim. It was actually the seat of the Melucha of Ishbosheth, if you recall, at the beginning of Shmuel Beis. Avshalom was in pursuit, and Avshalom appoints Amasa, Yoav's cousin, to be his general. We then learn that David met up with some other people who provided lots of provisions in the way of bedding, pottery for cooking, and grains, dried fruit, honey, some cheeses, a welcome donation to David and his men who were tired, thirsty, and hungry. We have Barzilai HaGiladi, we have Shovi ben Nachash, and Machir ben Amiel. The Rabbah points out towards the end of our Sefer, where he lists many of the lessons that can be gleaned from this Sefer. He points out the fact that many of the events in this perek displayed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with David throughout this ordeal. The fact that Avshalom could be swayed by Hushai, the fact that people came to assist David in relaying the information, and people came to bring him provisions, are all examples of Hashem Kaveyachol holding his hand throughout this tzara. We see similarly, when Yosef actually was sold into slavery, he was taken in wagons with sweet-smelling spices, and Rashi points out there that normally the wagons would be carrying foul-smelling goods, but this was a way of Hashem letting him know that Hashem was with him throughout his ordeal. And from the perspective of Hashem, as David HaMelech tells us himself in Tehillim Tzadi Aleph 91, Imo Anochi B'tzara, even when you are in a tzara that I brought to you because you deserve it. David deserved this tzara, but still through this tzara, Imo Anochi B'tzara, I am always there holding your hand. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilo Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.